The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. As we began to see yesterday, the great hope of the child of God is not in the things of this world. Indeed, there truly is no hope found in what we see around us. Rather, our hope is in the God of the universe, who provided his own Son to be our substitute and Savior. Join us today for the conclusion of this message, which reminds us that our hope is a great hope that is an anchor of our souls.
The souls of those who seek for wealth, the Lord shall soon require. The riches which are stored above shall never there expire. Fear not, little flock, fear
As a matter of fact, in Romans 8, he says this of hope. Romans 8 and verse 22 says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." You're not the only one who groans within yourself about the agonies and the pain and the death that you experience, and the way in which your body is failing you and dying daily, you know. The whole creation groaneth. We were not made for this, y'all, okay? We were made for something so much better, so much greater. You know, you want to know, if you want to talk about apologetics, you know, the argument and the defense of the faith, you know, one of the greatest evidences to me that there is something greater is the fact that everybody yearns for something greater. You know, why would we yearn for something that doesn't exist? Why would we have this need within ourselves as human beings? And why would we all feel as if we're falling short and somehow we're missing something? You know, if all that you were ever made to do was just to eat and drink and deal with your basic bodily needs, then why is it that when you eat and you drink and you sleep or whatever, that you still feel like you need more? Well, it's because you were made for something more, right? You were made to be perfect in heaven. You were made to be, well, perfect in Eden, you know. You were made to be perfect, and we fell, and we are broken. And now all of creation bears the marks of sin. The whole creation groans and travails. It's interesting that God gives us that word travails, the idea of labor. As in childbirth. And I've never experienced it, okay? Y'all know that I'm not strong enough to experience anything like that. I have seen secondhand, labor, okay? But now the word on the street is that labor is one of the most painful things to experience. I will take everybody's word for it. It certainly looks that way, okay? But it's travail. But God tells us that travail, he compares this concept of hope to a woman in childbirth. That pain is intense, but yet temporary. Right. And now it may not feel temporary when you're in labor for 48 hours, but that is nothing in comparison to the joy that comes after when that child is born. Now, obviously, we live in a broken world. You know, things happen, and it's tragic. But in general, the idea that God teaches us here is that travail is intense. It's hard to think about anything else, yet when that child is born, that joy that comes with it makes all of it worth it. You know, why do people, you know, it's such a terrible experience, childbirth, the pain and all of that, but why do people sign up to do it again? You know? Well, the joys of that child make you forget, right? Look, that's just an example that God gives us of what it's going to be like to get to heaven. All of a sudden, all of the suffering that you've experienced in your life, and maybe you haven't experienced as much suffering as others. Maybe you've experienced more than your fair share. Either way, you get to heaven, all of it will be wiped away. I'm not saying that the memory of it, I don't know how that's going to work. You know, I happen to believe that we'll remember, but it just won't matter, you know. It just, in comparison, it will be as nothing. Amen. Now, he says, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. We're waiting for that day of the resurrection when everything is made right again. For we are saved by hope. You know, look, we talk about how we're saved by grace. And you know what that means, that in the eternal courtroom of justice, that your eternal destination, it should have been hell, right, because of our sins. But because of the grace of God, we are saved by grace, and His children will be in heaven.
Amen.
And that's as simple as grace is. It's you have been saved by the act and the love of God.
Amen.
Okay. We also talk about saved by faith, you know, and how your belief in it, your faith in it. Now, faith is given to you for one in the new birth, but you believing and you trusting, you having faith in that, gives you a deliverance here and now. And that, you know, look, if you don't believe that you're going to heaven, you're not going to be very cheerful, right? But if you have faith and you believe, you know, whether or not, you know, it doesn't change what God has done either way. Your salvation is secured by Him, but your faith in it very much determines what kind of a day you're going to have that day, right? Well, this is even something better than that. It says, for we are saved by hope.
Amen.
But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? I go back to that example of me having a bad day, which happens a lot, and me hoping for that time when I walk in and see my family. And little man comes running across, screaming and talking all kinds of gibberish, you know, and I hope for that all day. I hope for that moment. And that's in times of hard times, that helps me to push through. But you know what's so beautiful about this is he says, hope that is seen is not hope. Okay. That time when I walk in, I'm no longer hoping to see my family. I see them. They're there. And I hold that boy. And it's a reality for me. See, I'm not hoping anymore. Right now, you hope for heaven, okay? Right now, you have a great hope for heaven, and a hope that all of the brokenness in this world will be done away with, all of the tears that you have shed will be wiped away, the death of loved ones, the obstacles you face, all of that is going to be handled, and all of the wrongs will be made right. That's a hope that we have, and that you will be with the one who loves you so for all eternity. That's a hope. But I'm telling you, child of God, there's a day coming, okay? There's a day coming. It's a real day. It's coming where you will see Him, and it will no longer be hope at that point, okay? It will be reality for you. You see, it's not just a fairy tale that we tell ourselves to make ourselves feel better. You know, as the critics of religion would say, it's the opiate for the masses, that it's just something that broken down people who are oppressed just come up with to make themselves feel better. Well, we'll see who's right about that. We'll see who gets the last laugh. But there's something within you, and that's within me, that is written in there by the hand of God that will not take that as an answer. There is a hope that burns within me. And I know you felt this. There's a hope that burns within me that the resurrection is a reality for you and that you will see God. And praise God when that day comes and it's no longer a hope, but it's real. You don't have to hope that Jesus will hold you in His arms. He will hold you in His arms. It says, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. That's exactly what Jeremiah said.
Right.
It said, it is good for man to both hope and to quietly wait for the salvation of God. So if you've got something that you're hoping for eternal redemption of your bodies, the resurrection, you're looking forward to that time. What should you do? You should wait for it, okay? You should wait for it. Now, we're all waiting for it, you know, whether we actively think about it or not. But what he's asking us to do, and what he's telling us to do, is to ponder on it, okay? It's not going to, that hope is not going to do you a whole lot of good unless you look at it, okay? Unless you view it in your mind. You know, my hope of going home to see my family doesn't really help me if I'm not thinking about my family, right? Your hope of being in heaven is a reality whether you think about it or not, but it helps you. It helps you when you think about it. Well, you know, I'm sick right now. I feel bad right now, but I'll be in heaven one day, right? That helps, okay? And then let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4:13 so we kind of bring this to a close. So this hope is good. Obviously, we get it. It helps day to day. It helps in suffering. But look, it's bigger than that. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." When we experience death, and we had a lot of prayer requests for families who had experienced death this morning. He says, you don't need to view it and to be just like the world. When they view death, they view funerals. It is a bleak, depressing, that's the end. When you view a funeral, when you view death, at least if you view it as you ought to. Now look, we all get there and we all, you know, in our flesh, we view it as final and it's over. But listen, in your spirit, in that new man that God has given you, you view it with hope, right? This is not the end. As a matter of fact, for the child of God, their funeral, we ought to be able, you know, obviously we keep it solemn as and respect for the family and all that. But we ought to really be able to smile. Isn't that crazy? We ought to be able to smile. You know, Sister Mandy, you know, I'm sad for the family because I know that that hurts them. You know, but man, I'm telling you what, it makes me so happy. Amen. It makes me so happy because her hope in Christ is realized. I mean, who would be sad about that? You know? And also, it says in verse 14, he says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." You realize that those people who've gone on, you'll see them again.
Yeah.
We will see them again. Not because of some goodness that you've done, but because of the goodness of God. You see, again, going back to, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. You know why that you can have hope and not live in despair? Look, I'll be real with you. You deserve to be in despair. I deserve hell. I deserve to live in bitterness and in darkness with no light for the rest of my life in the pits. But it is of the Lord's mercies Amen. That He comes to you and He says, "You're not a child of darkness, you're my child. And you will live in light and you will live in my mansion." And that's what we've got in Christ. And all of those that go before us, they'll be there too. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." We're not going to, you know, the people who are in the graves that are His children, you're not going to be able to stop them from resurrecting, right? Isn't that good?
Amen.
You know, you're not going to be able to you know, well, we don't like him, so we're gonna put him in cement and lead, and we're gonna put stakes through him and all this kind of, you cannot prevent a child of God from resurrecting. Isn't that great? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. It didn't say discourage each other, scare each other that the end's coming. The end coming is a good thing. Okay. I don't know if any of you, I'm sure people could relate to this, or at least a story that's sort of similar. But, you know, in football and doing conditioning workouts and things like that, I hated that. Okay. It was miserable. But, you know, you would have certain, you know, you're running laps, or maybe you were doing something that was timed, and then the coach calls out 30 seconds, you know, and your body's screaming, you know, and it's in pain, but you know, you only got 30 seconds left, right? You know, isn't that pretty good? Then all of a sudden, your body that wasn't really working correctly because of the pain starts to put out a little more, you know, because you've got 15 seconds left now, you know. And then you got 5 seconds, and you can endure anything for 5 seconds, right? And so you just push everything you've got out. You know, the end coming near is not something that should be scary to us, okay? The end coming near is an encouragement to me, okay? Because sometimes I feel like I don't know how much more I can handle, you know? The end's coming, y'all, okay? We can keep on pushing a little further. Because the end's coming. Hebrews, I've got to get this in. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. Now we're jumping in the middle of the context again, but we've got to move on. And you know this, it's been preached enough, and you can certainly read it. He says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. You see, God wants you to have a strong consolation. You know, we talk about consolation prizes and that sort of stuff where you basically just get something for kind of trying, you know. Well, God wants you to have a consolation. He wants you to be consoled. Which is why, ultimately, those two immutable things, why God would, God who cannot lie, made it, you know, if He says it, it's good. It's good as gold. But yet, for us to have even more assurance of this covenant, of this election, of this redemption, He confirmed it by an oath, right? He made a covenant. And so that when we look and we're in the midst of hardship and we need some extra encouragement, we can look to the promises of God for consolation. And he says that hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. You know, thinking about the way that hope is used, as we've mentioned, and I've mentioned it here before, you know, the hope, the fleeting wish, you know, I hope that it rains today, I hope whatever. You know, this view of, well, I just have a little hope. Now, that's something that you know, even Primitive Baptists have used before and others. Well, I just have just a little hope of heaven, you know. And look, I get it. You're trying to be humble, okay? And certainly it sounds arrogant to say, I have a great hope, you know, I'll be in heaven. It still feels arrogant when I say it that way. But here's the truth, okay? God didn't say you had a little tiny fish hook of hope that was he just barely latched into heaven and you're hanging on tight. He says you have an anchor, okay? This massive object that is not just on the edge of heaven, just barely hanging in. It is all the way into the throne room of God, sitting there in the middle, anchoring you to heaven. Okay? And so is your hope, after all, is your hope in you? Now, if it was in me, then I would say it would be arrogant to brag about it, you know? My hope is not in me. My hope is in Christ. Okay? And if you can't be proud of Christ, if you can't brag on Him, then you can't brag on anything. Okay? And so, well, you don't have to mope around like you've got a little hope. Your hope is massive. Your hope is great. And it says, which hope he has an anchor of the soul, entereth into that within the veil. It goes all the way into the throne room, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. Now the image that I get is, you know, this long chain coming down from heaven, connected to your soul, right? And then your anchor is sitting up there, and Jesus is sitting beside your anchor right now. Right. You know, it just, you know, maybe he's got his foot propped up on it, just like it's going to stay right here. You know, it's just, it's a beautiful image, but that's the image that he gives us.
Amen.
Is that you are represented in heaven right now. As you speak, Jesus is there for you.
Amen.
Now, that's a pretty good hope, I'd say.
Amen.
And then we've got just a few minutes, four minutes left. I mentioned that God will wipe away all tears from all eyes, right? That's a great hope. And I can't understand and explain everything that's going on in this world. And I do know this, that so many people try to blame God for things that are not Him. And we can talk about that, and we certainly, if anybody has any questions, we can study it together. But this we do know for certain, is that God is righteous, God is good, and God loves you, okay? And that when you get to heaven, all those tears will be wiped away. Now, in the final thing I'll say, we've talked about hope. There's one last little nugget I want to give you as a call to action for you, okay? In 1 Peter in chapter 3, Peter tells us to be ready to answer.
Yeah.
To be ready to answer when somebody asks you of what the hope that lieth within you, right? Look, your hope in God is something that you can, it's so great, it's such a beautiful thing that it can't help but bleed through into everything else you do. And people are going to see it.
Right.
And people are going to ask you about it. Right? You know, several members have experienced that. I think about Sister Michelle. She's experienced people asking her about the hope that she's got. And what we as disciples need to do, it's not just for the preachers. Every one of us need to be studying so that we know how to answer somebody when they ask, okay? Because you have an opportunity there. When somebody comes to you and asks you, you have an opportunity to share that with them. Look, not to, you know, we don't evangelize to save people to heaven, but just think about the impact it's had on you.
Amen.
Wouldn't you like somebody else to be delivered from some of their bondages if they could just hear a little bit about the hope that you've got too? So that's my call to action. Let's ponder on the hope. Let's look at the hope set before us, but let's also study up so that when people ask us about the hope, we can answer.
Amen.
Hope that's an encouragement to you.
What an encouragement indeed. The great hope of the child of God, the finished work of Christ and His imminent return. I'm thankful for this sermon from Elder John Morgan Owens, and I hope it's been an encouragement to you. Please join us next time on the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast, where we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.